If your small business is booming, you might say,
cha-ching.
But you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we'll help your growing business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football presented by BKCW. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Get your questions in. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But we got to talk about the news of the day first, guys. And the big storyline this week has been the SEC meetings. Bobby, you're finally back at home, but you spent the week in Sandestin, Florida, where you took in a lot of those meetings. What did you learn this week? What's your biggest takeaway?
Oh, the single biggest takeaway for me, beyond all the brouhaha about roster restrictions and times of football games, it was the first class nature of the SEC as an organization. I mean, I met with and talked with Chris Del Conte and Steve Sarkisian, Vic Schaefer, Rodney Terry. We talked to all those guys, right? The very last person I talked to from the Texas contingent was Jay Hartzell, the University of Texas president. And Blake and Jerry and everybody out there, I asked Hartzell, what was the single biggest difference or what was the difference that he notices between the SEC and the Big 12? And, you know, he's not going to say anything that like ruffles feathers. He's not going to, you know, do anything on the way out the door that really, you know, speaks poorly of anybody at the Big 12. He just said, look, this thing is highly, highly organized. It's the first time in my tenure as president where they brought in student athletes to talk to us directly about the student athlete experience in various sports and what they're thinking about. They met with a medical commissioner of the league that essentially helps health and safety and mental health and wellness, something that the Big 12 did not have. He said it's just highly, highly organized and indicative of a well-run first-class organization. He didn't throw shade on the Big 12 out the door. But my biggest takeaway, Texas is now in a conference that is a Texas-style conference. That's my opinion. It puts athletics in a light where it can be shown, you know, and spotlighted. And so that was my single biggest takeaway. Just the SEC is impressive for a reason. And they do a great job from an organization standpoint, getting people in front of getting coaches in front of people, et cetera. Really, really good job. I was very, very impressed.
Good stuff for sure. Well, and by the way, yesterday we talked about it for a second, but Bobby, you were on Paul Feinbaum. A lot of people were asking for that clip. We now have it posted over on TexasFootball.com, and of course you can find it on social media. So a good 10-minute interview there. It took a lot of work to get that on there, so please go watch it because I messed it up many times. Oh man.
Did you feel surrounded there, Bobby? Did you feel surrounded by the SEC in that one?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, they were talking about how it was the Iron Bowl on one side of me was more impressive. And then on the other side of me, it was Florida, Georgia. And I'm sitting here thinking Texas OU in the middle. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to win this argument because I probably had 100 years of college football experience on both sides of me.
Yeah.
I mean, 50 on one side and 50 on the other. I ain't winning that argument. I mean, no matter how right I might be, by the way.
So some people have commented on my background today. It's official visit season. It's go time, right? Official visits start. Texas doesn't host official visitors this weekend, but a lot of Texas targets are out and about around the country. So we figured we're going to bring the home crowd in here for official visit summer. It's going to be a huge month of June for Steve Sarkisian and the staff coming up.
Hey, Jerry, they have a ton of 2025, 2026, 2027 players coming in this weekend. I mean, look, I was talking with CJ yesterday, and you know this as well. They've got seven different quarterbacks in 2026 that have high-end offers.
Yeah.
Now, you've talked most about Troy Hune. You had an interview with him up yesterday on Texas Football. Dia Bell, young man out of Plantation, Florida. Hune out of Southern California. But there's guy, I mean, Jake Fett out of El Paso. I mean, Grant Smith out of Grand Oaks over in Conroe. There are guys coming from all around the country this weekend. Blake, you and CJ and John Burroughs, one of our young guys. Y'all are all going to be at that tomorrow, that event, weather permitting, by the way. But it seems like to me, Jerry, that this may be – is this the most star-studded underclassman day that you think they've had maybe since he's gotten – things going in Austin with Steve Sarkisian?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at that. I mean, last year's elite camp was pretty impressive group. I mean, you think about guys that if you look at the commitment list, some of those guys that were there last year for elite camp, and it was a very star-studded event there last year as well. I mean, look, KJ Lacy, James Simon. I mean, you go down the list, Jordan Davis, and there were some big names at Texas elite camp last year. A lot of offensive linemen, too. So a number of guys who are committed to Texas right now were at that event last year. So and get some top targets of Texas still remaining that are about to make official visits around the country this weekend were there as well. So I think from a quarterback perspective, though, yes. I mean, now some people say, no, Arch Manning was there 2 years ago. I get it. Or 3 years ago, whenever that was. Now you lose track of time before his junior season. And, but – I mean, look, Dia Bell's ranked top 20, top 25 in the country by people right now. Whether he is or not, I mean, he's that talent level, but rankings are so early right now. Troy Hune, getting into that top 100 area of the country, right? I mean, and he'll continue to move up. I think both those guys will end up top 50 prospects in the country at quarterback. So Sark has two of the very best in that class coming in, the only two with offers coming in. You mentioned Jake Fett. Out of El Paso. He's the type of guy that, you know, he's got multiple offers, right? I mean, he's got 7-8 offers from Power 4 offers. He's the type of guy that would go to Oak State or Texas Tech and kind of be a thorn in your side in the days of the Big 12. Just a playmaker, got some gamesmanship to him, got really good feet, pretty good basketball player. Quinn Murphy, who's out of Austin area, who's now moved up to Argyle Liberty Christian. He's going to play for Jason Witten. He has 18 offers. 6'3", 390-pound kid. Fit Sark scheme. You have Jaden O'Neal coming from Narbonne, California, who's put out a lot of quarterbacks over the years. That high school, he actually played last year at Newport Beach, a high school down there. Poor kid, and happened to play down in Newport. Must have been awful on Friday nights, throwing the ball in 65-degree perfect weather. But he's coming in as well. So, and then you have Grant Smith from Grand Oaks, who Texas brought in during the spring. He watched a spring practice. So those are some of the names. But as of right now, I think the quarterback in this class will be either Dia Bell or Troy Hune. Dia Bell, I spoke with him two nights ago. They're finishing up school still at American Heritage in Plantation, Florida there. He's coming in. This is not just I'm coming in to throw event. He's coming in with dad, mom, and a sibling. So, you know, that means this is a huge visit for him and his family. Him and his father came in for a spring practice when Texas offered. Now he's coming back with dad, mom, and a sibling. Troy Hune's already done that. He was on campus with his father once before, his mother once before. Troy Hune said him and his mom are flying out this morning from California to Austin. So, look, both these kids, they're not just coming in with QB instructors to throw the ball around. They're coming in with key family members, so you know these guys are close to decisions in June. These are very serious visits. Both these guys, I think, will be committed to a school probably by the end of June, and one of these guys could be committed to a school, I don't know, in the next 72 hours. I mean, it's that possible because KJ Lacy committed to Texas at Elite Camp Day last year. So it's possible, and I think both those guys are they're different quarterbacks. If you haven't watched the Troy Hune video, watch that one. I did an interview similar with Dia Bell when I was at Plantation American Heritage earlier in May. This is the last day of May, last time I can say earlier in May. But both those interviews, pretty good. You get to know the guys a little bit. You get a feel for them as quarterbacks, their background, more so than who are you considering and who's recruiting you the hardest. You guys can get that anywhere. What are these guys like? What makes them tick? They talk about their favorite route to throw. They talk about their history in football, in athletics. And what's interesting about both those guys that I did not know until I talked to Troy for this interview, I knew his mom played college basketball. His mom played college basketball at FIU. Rajah Bell played basketball at FIU. Rajah Bell's mom, Diabelle's mom was a all-conference soccer player at FIU. So it's kind of funny how some of this stuff works out in a weird way, is that three of the parents were college athletes at FIU at about the same time.
Hey, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
Typically.
Starts at FIU changes the world, Casey. There you go. Good job, Casey.
Hey, Bobby, before we move on.
I should give him a super chat for that.
Bobby, before we move on, can you tell folks out there about how they can escape the insurance trap?
Yeah, Jerry, you got to talk about Racine Guillory coming up. BKCW, our friends, have helped us out a lot, greatly, over the last almost year now. BKCW, did your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year, and then right before it was time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with no time to look for other options. When this happens, the agent is providing no value, and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. BKCW strives to take you out of the insurance trap by providing you and your business with actual risk management consulting, not just price quoting. Operating out of their headquarters in Austin and owned by a UT grad, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk and employment benefits. BKCW has risk consultants that specialize in many different industries, from construction to transportation to nonprofits and school districts, so you'll get matched up with someone who knows your business's risks and can help you escape the insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment at bkcw.com or send an email info@bkcw to get started and get the support for your business that you deserve.
I want to thank them for sponsoring each and every Friday. And yes, Jerry Hamilton, a lot of Texas fans were a little confused yesterday evening. We actually have already had a couple of questions about it. But Racine Guillory of Aledo, he tweeted last night around 8:30 about a top 7 or 8 coming soon, says Cody Pack. Then he deleted it. Any word on his recruitment?
I would say just expect him to visit campuses and he's already been on Georgia's campus. He's going to be on campuses. He's scheduled to be in Austin Saturday. Look, he's a kid who I've been told behind the scenes will make some visits. We'll go see other schools while continuing to be committed. Look, I mean, Brandon Brown's sitting there committed to Texas. He's about to make 4 official visits. So that's the recruiting day and age we live in. I wasn't expected by that. I wasn't surprised by that tweet. I wasn't surprised it was deleted. I wasn't surprised when he visited Georgia. I just think that's just the way it's going to be, especially with this recruitment. Texas taking 2 running backs in 25 class right ahead of him. So schools are going to try to chip away at that. But that's just what's going to be part of this recruitment. So let's see what he has to say after June 1st.
Hey Jerry. Hold on 1 second. I got to ask you this, because we've spent a lot of time on quarterbacks in 26. Outside of Guillory, the ones that I understand are Ball at Texas High, yeah, in Texarkana, KJ Edwards at Carthage, and then Osborne at Forney. Yeah. Is that the next group? Are there any others that you want to mention or that might be in that category for Texas?
I think in-state, barring somebody that blows their socks off, either did in May and they want to see it in person again. But I think Javion Osborne, who is scheduled to be at Tennessee this weekend, we'll see if that changes. But he told me he was going to be at Tennessee earlier in the week on Monday and not Texas. Doesn't mean Texas is out or in a bad position. Like I said, these recruitments are going to go for a little while here. I think Javion Osborne's very high on the board. I think Tre'Darrion Ball's right there. I think KJ Edwards a little bit below that. But Tre'Darrion Ball will be scheduled to be in town Saturday. A guy who ran 10 600 meters early in the spring there, has a ton of offers, 38, 40 offers, I think, right now. That's the question I have with 26 running back recruiting for Tashard Choice is, will he actually take two in-state running backs in the same class? Because that has not happened since he's been in Austin, but the 26 running back class is probably the best, deepest, with different skill set guys since he's been in Austin. So it'll be interesting to see if Texas takes two running backs from in-state in 26. I do expect it to be a two running back class again. So I said the same thing about Kyle Flood. You're not going to – eventually one of Tashard Choice's sons is going to leave the nest. I mean, it's just going to happen. You can't recruit this talent level and a lot of it every year and expect all these guys to stay all 4 years. That's not the today's day and age of college football. So I think taking two running backs in a class, I think, is very smart by Steve Sarkisian, and Tashard Choice in every class.
Good stuff for sure. It's definitely a interesting time to follow recruiting nonetheless, and a good time if you're a Longhorn fan. So guys, one of the other things that we got a lot more to talk about, actually. Let's go ahead and talk about softball and baseball. Softball, big game last night against Stanford. Dominance, I guess, would really be the only way to put it. The first ever shutout by a Texas freshman was pitched last night due to Tegan Caven, Kevon, however you say her last name. But either way, an impressive performance nonetheless. Now they'll play Florida on Saturday.
And look, that's a huge win. And Saturday's game is even bigger. If you can get off to the 2-0 start, just look at the odds that you have to play for it all. Oklahoma on the other side of the bracket beat Duke in a run rule game. Not unexpected. I think they have UCLA next. But Texas, that's a huge win to start. I think the A&M series did a lot of good for Texas going into that World Series. I really think it did. They got pushed to the limit. They won when they were pushed to the limit. And I don't care what your record is in the regular season. When you get into that postseason and you're pushed to the limit and you find a way to get it done, that locker room becomes tighter. That belief becomes even more so. And now to have a game one like they did against Stanford. And look, we talked about this the other day, not going too deep on this, but it is important. Mike White's got a tremendous program he's building here. Texas road to the national championship is a little tougher. Look, all the chalks won in the regionals. If you look at Oklahoma, they played 10 seed Duke, and then UCLA played an upset special Alabama, who made it to the College World Series. So Oklahoma has the easier path. I know everybody's good and everybody's playing well, but blah, blah, blah. But still, Oklahoma's path is easier than Texas' path. Texas' path, if they get to the national title now, that Florida's a very good team. Obviously, shut out Oklahoma State. I think they've won 52 games now. So if Texas beats Florida, I mean, that they're sitting there 2-0 with two quality wins, and then you're waiting to see who comes out of that elimination bracket, which Florida, I think, will be the favorite to come out of that elimination bracket. But if Texas can get the game against Florida Saturday, they are set up to get to the national championship. They still got to get it done. But winning that game one was big. Winning game two would be huge.
Sure. And then the other news, guys, is that the baseball team, if I can fix the screen there, will start their play tonight. We'll preview that game here later in the show, but at 5 p.m., they will take on Louisiana, and we'll see what happens.
The Raging Cajuns, baby.
Flip a coin. Hey, by the way, that field's going to be soaked in College Station.
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah,
it's got to be.
I know that.
Gary and Blake, are you guys? Blake, you sent a text to us this morning saying that you had some water in your house last night from all the. I mean, is it? Jerry, you said sheets of rain are coming down in Houston right now.
Yeah, I mean it's whatever hit Blake and those guys west has made its way to Houston. North Houston's getting pummeled all the way from Cypress to like the Woodlands, Lake Conroy, Lake Livingston. I'm down south in Friendswood, home of champions. I'll call it that. We're not exactly Duncanville, but I'll lie a little bit. But we don't have it quite as bad. We just have umbrellas being blown down. If you have your umbrella out by a pool and you have some limbs down, but nothing major here. It's all north in Houston.
I got it. Hey, I wanted to mention this yesterday on that Stanford Texas baseball or softball game. Texas was up 2-0 in the sixth inning. Went up 4-0. On some big runs with two outs. Jerry, I really liked how you described a team right, that kind of galvanizes after a difficult experience in the postseason. I mean, you know, teams, how many times have we heard of a, I mean, I think back to 1983 and the NC State basketball team down by 8 points with like 30 seconds left against a Pepperdine team. They come back and win in double overtime or something and end up winning the national championship over the University of Houston. You get pushed to the limits like that. You find out whether or not you're made of steel, right? Or if you're just aluminum and you can easily bend, right? And I like how you explained it, because I think it's true in sports and not just in one or two sports. I mean, across all of it. And so I think that's real. Rowing also gets started. The national championships get started today. Actually, Texas, the number one seed across the board, that is up in Bothell, Ohio. And Jerry and I and Blake all had to look up where Bothell, Ohio is, because I've never heard of it. It is about 35 miles due east or southeast of Cincinnati. So it's almost on the Kentucky state line there. But Longhorns trying to go for another national championship right now as well. Track and field ongoing, as Casey mentions. The issue here in all of these spring sports that we're talking about, one of the reasons why that Texas versus Stanford softball game was so big, and Dr. Brett Wilkinson that comes on and talks a little director's updates, obviously Texas versus Stanford, those are the two teams, Jerry and Blake, right now that are have true opportunities of winning the Director's Cup. That's a direct win over Stanford right now.
Yeah.
And so that will help Texas in that regard as well. We can talk about it as much as we want, whether it's baseball, softball, rowing, track and field. Texas firing on all cylinders right now.
Hey, I this is not a name drop thing. This was just something you brought up that was funny that happened yesterday. So I stopped by TJ Ford's facility in Missouri City. You guys know I covered TJ in high school, been friends with him for years. And I walk in, and you know, you normally see, you know, Nate Hinton, who plays for the Rockets, was there getting some work in. You know, you see some people. TJ was working with Rory Harmon, but I walk in and look to the left, and Hakeem was sitting there watching his son's workout. He lives in the Missouri City area. And I mean, I got to be honest, I didn't tell TJ this, but I said, my thought was when I saw Hakeem just sitting there hanging out was, I walked in the gym, a gym where TJ's been in, where I said, man, he's not really even the best player in here. I mean, that doesn't happen very often. I mean, two of the Houston legends, obviously, were in the gym there and at TJ Ford Academy in Missouri City yesterday. By the way, Rory Harmon looked really good yesterday. That's the second time I've seen her working with TJ. She reports back this week in Austin. I know Vic Schaefer spoke about her a little bit at SEC Media Days, but she looked good. TJ was putting her through some drills yesterday. So I think she's ahead of schedule. I know that Texas will be cautious with what they're saying. That's the second time I've seen her work out 4 months removed from knee surgery. I'll tell you where it's never a good thing to lose a season to an ACL. But where it's going to end up being a little bit of a blessing in disguise, because you always try to find the silver lining, she's getting a lot of perimeter shots up because it's all she can do. She's going to come back a better perimeter threat as a shooter than she was prior. So she's going to make – it looks like her work with TJ, and then when she gets back to Texas, she's going to make the most of this time in rehab. She's going to shoot – she's going to be a better shooter from three and 18 to 22 feet than she was prior to injury. So she's making the most of a bad situation.
Hey, Jerry, I was the one that asked Coach Schaefer about Rory Harmon. Said, hey, what do you think of her working out with TJ Ford down in Houston? The first thing he did, he went from like an okay, like little, you know, ready to answer some questions. He just got a big old grin on his face.
Yeah.
He lit up like a Christmas tree. He was ready to talk about Rory and the fact that she's down there working with TJ. So good stuff there for the Lady Longhorns moving forward.
Hey, while we're on the subject of women's basketball, real quick, Ran Rodriguez, LFC, says, hey, Jerry, I think we made top 10 for Leah Chavez. Do you have any insights on that recruitment? I got a note, but I'll let you go first.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Blake. Say your note, because I don't have insights on the recruitment, but go ahead.
Okay, I talked to a couple of girls' high school basketball coaches here probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and they told me that Texas sits in a very, very good position for Chavez. That's where they projected her to end up, if you had to ask them. And they also said that she's been, from what they, I think they saw her in two or three games over the past month, that she's just super, super impressive.
Look, where is she out of, by the way?
Is it Lubbock, Coronado?
Yeah, is it Coronado or Monterey? One of the two.
Oh, I think it's Monterey. Was Aaron Humphrey the last big-time recruit out of Monterey?
Oh, wow. There you go.
Was it Aaron Humphrey, Bobby? Was he Monterey? Or was
it
he Coronado?
It could be, man. It could be.
But so here's the thing. I actually watched one of her recent YouTube videos from the AAU circuit because – look, she made 193 pointers as a junior in high school, which is just like, I mean, that's just mind-blowing stuff. And I watched a game of hers where she had 37 in an AAU event a couple of weeks ago, and she hit like seven threes in the first half. She is a, from an offensive standpoint, what she can do for a team with her ability to shoot the ball is different than anybody else you can recruit. I mean, it's a next level stuff because she can shoot it off the dribble going right or left off the cat. She runs the point doing it. She creates the hard hedge. So she is a elite college talent because of her ability to shoot the basketball and the pressure that's going to put on a defense every time she comes down the floor. Huge recruitment for Vic Schaefer.
Is she the number one player in the country? Someone's asking.
She's ranked number one in the country. Will she end up one, two, or three? I can't say. I'm not hoopgirls.com, right? I don't go to all those events, but she's really damn good.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Everybody I talked to has been highly, highly impressed for sure. Okay, guys. Well, speaking of impressive, yesterday, I believe it was the day before, Athlon Sports came out with anonymous coach talk, which is always very fun. And it seems like some of the SEC coaches are impressed with what Texas brings to the table. I'm going to go ahead and bring up a couple of these. Remember, these are anonymous. One coach said they instantly compared to the top programs in the league in terms of depth and talent, and they could definitely win the conference and be headed back to the playoffs. Another coach said, if you're looking for a weak spot, maybe it's the fact you have the most famous name in quarterback history, obviously talking about the Mannings, as a backup, but that's a problem any staff would take. And we got some more quotes, but let's start there, guys. I mean, that already saying a lot.
Well, I think we know Kirby Smart didn't make the first statement, so I'm going to go with Kalen DeBoer and the anonymous coach there because he just played him and he was probably asked about Texas. You know, maybe it's Lane Kiffin, but I would think they asked that question to somebody who just played Texas. So I'll go with Kalen DeBoer. But Bobby, I think, look, we've been talking about it. You've recruited three straight top five level classes. You're blue blood, who, if you're smart in the portal, you add NFL players every year once you get your program established. Texas, from a talent standpoint, and that doesn't mean they're a perfect roster. Georgia's not a perfect roster. Michigan won a national title last year. They weren't a perfect roster. They didn't have a number one wide receiver. I mean, so I think sorry about the bad weather, man. We get a bunch of stuff going on here, connection. But I think Texas recruiting and roster build, I think they're going to be a faster team 1 through 85 than they were last year. They're just on the right track, and they do look like an SEC team when you see them in person.
I would add this. You know, one of the things that we talked about that was talked about it down at the spring meetings is Texas and how they sit right now going into the SEC. And we've talked about it.
Yeah.
Texas would not have wanted to go in the SEC in 2021. That would not have been the year, right? They didn't have the personnel, Jerry. You know, they went 5-7 in the Big 12. Sark has built the program up to the point where they are getting ready to have player after player after player going on to the NFL. And so they are, and that's a lot what a lot of the SEC teams do, whether it's, you know, you talk about Georgia all you want, but Florida had a first rounder. You know, Kentucky is going to have a first rounder next year. LSU had three for, I mean, there's draft picks galore
Yeah.
out of the league. And you can't enter that league without some of those yourself, right? And I think that Texas is well positioned, I guess is the best way to put it, right now heading in. They are not at a disadvantage. 3 years ago, Texas would have been at a categorical disadvantage. Now they're one of the elite teams heading in my opinion, from a personnel standpoint. And it took time. It didn't happen overnight for Steve Sarkisian. He did some piecework on the way, or piecemeal work. But now I think he's ready. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to go 12-0, but they're going to be highly, highly competitive, if not, one of the better teams in the league.
And then these other two quotes, guys. One coach said, I think there's a tendency to look at the league expansion from the point of view of new programs having to acclimate to the league. But this might be the other way around. You can't compare Texas or OU to those A&M and Mizzou programs that came in. And then the last quote that we have is they're going to pair the Bama receiver transfer, of course, talking about Isaiah Bonds, with their other five stars and probably won't miss much at this position.
They won't miss much, but I'm telling you, Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell were a deadly combo once they got going. And Jordan Whittington and JT Sanders. Look, Texas had an abundance of talent at receiver last year. All of those guys drafted, two of them very highly, in Worthy and Mitchell. I don't know. We'll talk about this. I don't know what the passing game is going to look like this year and how they're going to connect together and kind of come together as a group. But I'm impressed. There's no doubt that they've got the roster, man. In football, that is 75% to 85% of the issue. How many teams will say it's the Jimmies and Joes and not the X's and O's? Well, Texas right now has the Jimmies and Joes, or at least a lot of them. They don't have all of them, but they have a lot of them. That's what it's fun about. That's why I'm excited about – one of the reasons I'm excited about headed to the SEC.
I think one of the keys for me is early in the season, especially – it'll start Colorado State, but Michigan game, because the teams in the SEC know Michigan has a bunch of NFL players on defense. If Texas can establish – I think they have to scare D coordinators, make them think in a different way this year. Nyblack running very fast down the field. All that speed stretching the field in different ways. I think Xavier Worthy, when he caught a ball, scared people that Texas played. They're like, ooh, this guy can score anytime he touches it. I think Sark this year is going to have to worry. I don't want to say scare. It's not intimidation. It's worry defensive coordinators with all the speed he can put on the field. And those guys are going to look and say, man, Texas is actually faster this year. That in some ways they may be more difficult to defend because they can put a package out there that has Nyblack, Jaden Blue, Isaiah Bond. I mean, Silas Bolden. And you just say, whoa. Everybody here run – all these guys run 10-6, and Nyblack's a 4-5 guy tied in. There's different ways to worry your opponent, and I think Sark's going to – early in the season is going to say, all right, guys, y'all think we lost a lot last year? Look how fast we are this year. Then it comes down to execution. But they're going to have so much speed, the ability to put so much speed on the field at times – that some D coordinators maybe outside of Georgia are going to be like, whoa, this is going to be tough to defend.
Hey, Zane Petty has this that I want to mention too, Jerry. People are sleeping on Bolden, Silas Bolden out of Oregon State and Matthew Golden out of the University of Houston. Bolden had 55 catches last year. The wide receiver core is more than fine. There's no doubt. It's more than fine. That's not what we're saying here. Out of the gate, what's the connection going to be? When are they going to start hitting full stride? Adonai Mitchell had a good game against Alabama, but then had a couple games in the middle there until he really got accustomed to it. Like, he only had one catch against Houston. Okay, people don't remember that. My point being, there comes a time where you finally get going, and there's so many new pieces on this offense from the receiver position, from tight end all the way across all three receivers, that it just takes time. I'm not I'm not diminishing the quality of talent, although I think Xavier Worthy is a little different than everybody out there. I mean, just ran a 4.2 140 and set the, you know, longtime NFL record. It's just, he's just different. What I'm saying is it just takes a little time. So when is that going to, when's that light switch going to come on? You know, and hopefully it's early. Hopefully a guy that has the, and I will say this, Silas Bolden has more reps than anybody.
Yeah.
And so any of the other Isaiah, including Isaiah Bond, including Matthew Golden, any of the transfers, Silas Bolden has the most. So he might be a really key part of that, getting going early. Because he knows what it's about a little bit more.
Sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just thought that was kind of funny from Ted Apari. I like that comment. Yeah, so I agree with Bobby in this. I thought last year going into the Bama game, this is one difference going in the Michigan game versus the Bama game last year. You had so many guys that were experienced in the system, multiple years, Worthy, JT Sanders, Gunnar Helm, even Jonathan Brooks, right? So at Jordan Whittington, you had a lot more Sark system experience. I think this group of wideouts and skill guys is truly going to take off by Oklahoma game and thereafter. They got to get through the Michigan game, and there's different ways to get it done, right? I mean, Silas Bolden and Matthew Golden, I think Texas may be even stronger as a whole in the return game than they were last year. I mean, Worthy returned one, Keelan Robinson returned one, but Matthew Golden's an elite kickoff returner, right? Silas Bolden has some big playability in the punt return game as well. So Texas in the return game is going to be just as good, maybe even slightly better in kickoff return game this year. So there's different ways to put the ball in the end zone. And I think Texas from a big playability in the passing game from running backs may be better than they were last year. So I think there's going to be different ways to get the ball in the end zone against Michigan for Texas. But I think these guys, as they get comfortable in the scheme, they're not going to be as comfortable game two this year as last year's group was going to Tuscaloosa. But what, by the time Oklahoma rolls around and you hope Mississippi State, these guys are going to be a lot more comfortable in the system. And I think this Texas offense last half of the year is going to be better than it was a year ago in a different way, though.
We got lots of good comments and questions regarding what we're talking about here. But first, before we get to those, Jerry, can you tell folks out there about our newer sponsor, Omaha Steaks?
Well, I can tell you this. Everything they sent to us was great because it's all gone. So if it doesn't – it's gone. It's gone. All I have is boxes and getting ready to be in the trash, thrown out in the trash tomorrow morning. But when Father's Day is – with Father's Day right around the corner, would – what – do you give the man who has everything? Easy. You give him an experience he'll never forget. You give him Omaha Steaks. The Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face this summer with a hand-selected gift packages starting at just $89. Just go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code ONTEXAS, all caps at checkout, for an additional discount when you shop gourmet gift packages for Father's Day. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor, obviously I have empty boxes. Endless variety, obviously I have empty boxes. And endless value. Truly, they have perfected more than your steak, and your dad is guaranteed to love every bite. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code ONTEXAS, all caps, to get exclusive savings. Shop for unforgettable gifts that are guaranteed to make Dad's Day great. Because if there's one thing Omaha Steaks knows, it's dads want steaks. OmahaSteaks.com, promo code ONTEXAS, all caps at checkout.
Good stuff. All right, y'all. Well, let's get to some of those questions here. And let's start with this one from Ivory Martin, since we're talking about wide receivers. He says, well, we see a lot more empty with five wide receivers.
Well, not five wides. Sark doesn't like to tip his hand. He may actually line up with five wides with two tight ends and one running back. That might be what he does, but it won't be a true five wides.
I think what's interesting is you're going to see more two back pony package this year in the SEC.
Well, you definitely are, but even then you can go out to five wide alignment. Yeah. Sark does not like to tip his hand by taking position groups off the field. And what I mean by that you will rarely see him without at least one tight end on the field, even if the tight end is lined up out wide, right? He doesn't like to tip his hand pre-snap. So I don't see a true five wides where you have everybody from Jonte Cook to DeAndre Moore, Silas Bowen, Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond, Ryan Wingo, all out there at the same time. That's not Sark's MO. If he does it, it'll be the first time he's done it since he's been in Austin. And maybe ever. Because he didn't do it at Alabama. He didn't do it at USC. Well, I mean, he tries to do the whole pro thing, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, where you kind of disguise it a little bit.
And then our next question, fellas, we'll jump over to running backs. So we have a super chat here from Jack. Thank you, Jack. As always, he says, Jerry and Bobby, with Sark's stress on speed, it doesn't seem as if that's the same for running backs. Am I wrong?
I think he wants to have some home run hitting ability, but I think number one, they want to be able to run the ball in between the tackles because it's so key in his offense. You got to have that downhill. You got to have a little bit of a power run game. You got to have that inside zone run ability with your large humans on the offensive line to open up everything he wants to do down the field vertically, make it all kind of work. But that inside run, that running behind those large humans, especially with the move to the SEC, I think is very crucial, important part of Sark's offense, Bobby.
Hey, I want to say this. Jack's not wrong, because I started thinking about this, because three of the last four backs they've taken, Jarrett Gibson, Christian Clark, James Simon, those three are not sub 4.5 guys.
No.
Okay. And so I started thinking about this. But then you look at the roster currently, as it currently exists. Jaden Blue is definitely a speed guy.
Yeah.
Trey Wisner is a speed guy. I think Ricky Stewart is a speed guy, Jerry. And so you have three on coming in, and then you have Cedric Baxter, which is can actually deceptively speedy or fast. You just don't realize it enough because he doesn't get up going in the open field. I think that they have a mix there. That's kind of my point. But it's a good question, because James Simon's not 4.4.
No.
Okay, Christian Clark is not 4.4. All right, but can they make people miss in the hole? Yes.
Yeah.
Can they glance off a tackle? Yes.
Are they going to do it with 220-pound frames?
Yeah. Yes. Jack's not wrong.
No.
All this emphasis on speed, but some of these guys aren't necessarily speedy.
Hey, Blake, can I get a little recruiting speed dating real quick?
Yeah, go through it.
All right. First, Ekim, Maverick, Celtics or Mavericks? Tough call. I think the Celtics have had such an easy path because everybody got hurt in the East. All right, but let's see. Convince me cornerback and DL recruiting is okay. I actually put a story up on texasfootball.com right before we started here. Through my eyes, what would be a successful class for Texas? And on those two positions specifically, one on D-line, we'll start on D-line. One, you have to keep Brandon Brown. We'll talk a little bit about where some of the top targets are going to be visiting this weekend, since Texas doesn't have official visits here a little bit coming up. But Brandon Brown's at LSU this weekend. LSU, Texas A&M, and Tennessee are going to make the June runs. I think A&M will replace USC on his official visit list. That's what I've been told. We'll see if that happens or if he makes that final visit. But look, you got to keep him in the fold, right? Because if you don't, he's going to a play against your school. It'll be LSU or A&M. So you got to keep him in the fold. But then I have a tier of four guys that Texas needs to hit two of those. They need to hit 50%, because I think Brandon Brown, Josiah Sharma, Myron Charles, Kevin Wynn, Zion Williams are all a tier above some of the other guys on the D-line. So Texas needs to go 2-4 in some real SEC battles. I mean, Josiah Sharma's Alabama, Texas, maybe Oregon a third. Zion Williams is going to be LSU, Texas. A&M will make a run. But, I mean, that's LSU, Texas right now. Myron Charles is more FSU, Texas, but he's at Florida this weekend. He'll visit Miami. He will make a run. And then Kevin Wynn is FSU, South Carolina, Georgia, Texas. He's at Georgia this weekend. So those are big boy recruitments on the D-line, as they should be if you're going to get those level players. Texas comes away. If they can hit 50%, which I'm not saying they will, if they can hit 50% and keep Brandon Brown, that's a hell of a D-line class. Corner's interesting, Bobby. They have to win on Dorian Brewer and Nathan Anding right now. I mean, that's just the way this thing's been set up. Dorian Brewer and Caleb Chester, who I actually like Caleb Chester. I think if you haven't watched the interview with Caleb Chester, watch it. It'll get into why I think he's going to be a really good player at the next level. He's a film study guy. He's a football smart guy. He cares about studying the game. And I think that's key with that kid after talking to him. But Dorian Brewer, Caleb Chester coming in on the 7th through 9th, Aiden Anning the 21st through 23rd. Then Cade Phillips out there as a swing DB safety that could play some corner, but probably goes to safety. That's an LSU-Texas battle with A&M 3rd, right? So Dorian Brewer is at LSU this weekend. LSU has the big weekend this weekend, by the way, guys. I mean, that you're talking about Jamie French, Brandon Brown, Dorian Brewer, and one other, which I'll remember shortly. But four top targets for Texas are visiting LSU this weekend. Georgia has a couple of guys as well, Nick Brooks being one of those. Then there's two or three at Miami. But Texas guys, Washington has like five Texas targets on campus, which goes to this question for our recruiting speed dating here. What are the chances Texas gets either Mattai or Madden, the two linebackers out of California? I can't really handicap theirs right now because they haven't been to campus, or it's been a while. So this is where Johnny Nansen coming to Texas has changed the game. Eight or nine official visitors from California this month. That was, again, the story I put out. I thought Texas needs to hit on three of those guys, and it'll be a successful run. If you hit on four, it's unbelievable. Which of those linebackers does Texas have a better shot at? You got to go with Madden because Mattai has committed to USC right now and still has that USC official visit. So we'll see what happens there. They need to get one of those guys. Because that goes to Riley Pettijohn. I still think Texas leads for Riley Pettijohn. He's at FSU this weekend. So there's another guy making a big national visit that's a Texas target. I thought this was funny. We'll get our 26th quarterback commitment this weekend. I agree. The suspense is terrible. I hope it'll last. I do agree Texas will get a quarterback commitment this weekend. When it goes public, I don't know. But I do think that will happen, and we'll see which is that Dia Bell or Troy Hoon. E. Kim says, why are fans doubting recruiting efforts of Sark with the past three classes? Three straight top five classes in a row. I do think it'll be four top five classes and level classes in a row.
Good stuff. Interesting. Hey, Jerry, I want to go back to one thing. I was making a note. When you mentioned Johnny Nansen's name, I was asked the other day on the Wednesday night live stream who the best recruiter on the Texas staff is right now. And I said it's Jeff Banks. But from a position standpoint, it might be Tashard Choice and or Kyle Flood.
Yeah.
They're two different categories, right? One is position only, where Flood and Choice, I think, have done a remarkable job. I think Choice is trying to morph into more of that overall recruiter. Sark's putting him in on the road down in South Florida and in Georgia to kind of do more. But Banks has been the guy, right? Yeah. In South Dallas, regardless of what position,
right?
He's been the guy that's helped. Nansen feels a lot like Jeff Banks in that regard. He could be the defense's version of Jeff Banks, where I noticed this, and this is why. Okay, the guy that recruited all four guys in the portal, Tia Savea, Bill Norton, Jermaine Lolee, and Javion Cole,
yeah,
all recruited by Johnny Nansen. Cole told us on Wednesday night, Jerry, that it was Johnny Nansen that reached out to him first.
Yeah.
Not Terry Joseph or Blake Gideon in the secondary, but Johnny Nansen. And so he's becoming a key piece to this staff very quickly. You mentioned Riley Pettijohn and those linebackers from California, as well as Bo Barnes already in the fold. So he's becoming a key piece to the Steve Sarkisian staff kind of before he even takes the field.
Yeah, no doubt. I totally agree. And the portal was huge there. You think about all his connections to the West Coast, and that's going to be – we talk about high school recruiting more, but to your point, it's going to be just as important in the portal moving forward that Johnny Nansen has two decades of relationships and recruiting on the West Coast. That includes Las Vegas, by the way. Official visitor coming in from Bishop Gorman, Landon McCumber, a linebacker who I – probably second on the list, but still a good player. Missed some of his junior year with injury, I believe. So I totally agree with you, Bobby. It's going to be portal and high school recruiting. And sometimes Jeff Banks is overlooked in recruiting for Texas, to your point, because people just think about the tight end position. But here's the reality for Jeff Banks. Portal, huge. The preparation, the planning. When he's part of the Myron Charles recruitment. When Kenny Baker went down, and Myron Charles and his coach told me this when I was down there, we have a video on Texas football interview with him. You can archive as well with Myron Charles, that it was Jeff Banks and Kenny Baker that made that visit. Jeff Banks was the one that went by Tampa Tech to see Dallas Wilson, a five-star receiver, just to see. He's the one that tried to recruit DJ Pickett, the five-star safety out of the Zephyr Hills. So he gets out and he recruits a bunch of guys, maybe even behind the scenes that isn't made publicly as much, but he is very key to helping Texas get their foot in the door with a lot of guys nationally.
All right, in Duncanville.
Duncanville, huge, I-20.
You know, so.
Arizona.
Yep, Arizona, the Christian, yes, absolutely.
All right, guys, we got time for more questions, so please get your questions in. And let's take this next one here from, if I can find it, Brendan, going, since we're talking about recruiting, he says, do you think this class will end up better than both the 22 and 23 classes?
23 would be tough. So on paper, it'd be tough. I mean, that's the Arch Manning, Anthony Hill, Baxter, Jonte Cook, DeAndre Moore. I mean, that was a really strong class. Top Malik Muhammad. I mean, that's a very strong class. So on paper, it might be tough to get there. That was also Sark's biggest class. I believe he had 28 in that class. I'd be surprised if the number got that big in the 25 class. 22 class, that was the offensive line class, which was going to have 3-4 draft picks out of that. First rounder at tackle, maybe two. Who knows, right? The 23 class is probably going to be tough. That's the top three class Sark had. And again, that was three or four five stars, depending on the services, right? You have to hit 3 5 stars to have a top five class, essentially. But that was a big class. So it had the five stars. It had the marquee, highly ranked guys. It had depth of 4 stars. And then it had 28 guys in the class. So some people in our industry they only count a certain number of commits. Some people just take it all together and formulate an opinion, which I actually think is the best way to go personally, but that's just me. That would be the class that would be tough just from a numbers perspective. But I will say this. I think this could be the fastest class. Tech as an all-around class, this could be the fastest high school class Sark assigned. We'll see how fastest, quickest. We'll see how it all plays out.
Interesting. Well, guys, I need to tell folks out there about Chinook, and it's baseball season, obviously. And if you're like me, you got to have those sunflower seeds. Don't fret. Chinook Seedery has you covered. Chinook has crafted the best tasting sunflower seeds on the planet, and their unique flavors are made from real foods and real spices. That means real Parmesan cheese, authentic Hatch chilies, and freshly harvested dill. They're absolutely great. I'm hooked on their lemon pepper flavor that they partnered up with Bobby Witt Jr. to create. It is phenomenal. And with 8 unique flavors to choose from, you'll definitely find one that you love. So go check them out. You can find them in your favorite store, or you can go online to ChinookSeedery.com and get you an order. And seeds the day with Chinook.
They always sponsor the baseball segment of this show. Blake, give us a little rundown of what the Longhorns are. Who are the Longhorns pitching today against Louisiana? That sort of stuff.
Yeah, so Texas game starts at 5 p.m. today. They will be taking on Louisiana, as Bobby said. The Raging Cajuns, they have pretty good pitching, but injuries have plagued them. So we'll see how that plays in, if it is a factor this weekend. They don't have a lot of depth offensively. And speaking of offense, Texas offense has to get hot. They've been up and down, as anybody that's watched them knows. But to even have a chance this weekend, that offense has got to get going. On the mound for Texas tonight, I think you'll see Max Grubbs. He's 5-4 as a starter, 3.41 ERA. So we'll see. Vegas has the game as even money. It's a pick 'em. So if that tells you anything, honestly, I don't expect Texas to get out of this regional. I think Texas A&M's the hands-down favorite. The only other team in there is Grambling, and they don't have depth at all. I think they'll be done pretty quickly. So if Texas wins, then they will play the winner of Grambling versus A&M on Saturday. And then, of course, if they lose, they'll play the loser of that game as well. One thing I think is kind of interesting, though, in this regional is everybody except Grambling went 0-2 in their conference tournament. So everybody's rested. I think Grambling, if I remember correctly, played 6 or 7 games in 4 or 5 days. So everybody except Grambling, who probably needs the rest the most, is very well rested. But, guys, I don't see anyone overcoming the Aggies. But you never know. That's why you play the game. So we'll see what happens. But tough sledding ahead for the Longhorns. And Louisiana is going to be a tough team tonight to beat. That game on ESPN2 will take place at Bluebell Park, as we said, beginning at 5 p.m.
Hope the bats get hot. The bats get hot. That's the way to get it.
One of the popular things on the chat is always the 3 5-star ranked receivers, currently ranked 5-star receivers. I still think the odds are higher that Texas gets 2 than 3. I know the prediction game out there. I've been part of it for years. Predictions change. French was a lock for Ohio State in the industry 2 months ago. Jordan Davidson was a lock for Texas 2 months ago. And I'm not saying Texas can't get all three of those guys. But the one thing to remember with all this is one school could make a huge NIL offer to one of these guys that changes the course. I mean, that's just the thing. I know the recruiting, the prediction part is fun, and I'm not saying it doesn't have value. I think Texas is in a good position. But what I will say is in the last cycle, there was a receiver that an SEC school went above and beyond what anybody else would do. And everybody else was out suddenly. And one of those that was out was one of the early favorites. So it's a little different era now. We'll see what happens. I think it's more likely you get 2 than 3. And the other thing that would happen if you only got 2 is if 2 of those guys look like they're going to Texas in early July, then maybe the circle of another receiver said, hold on, let's just take a look at this a little bit different. There's just things that go on in June that aren't even started right now, is what I'll say.
Well, look, Texas got Aaron Butler in the last week of January, last week of December. So things happen. Things happen.
Yeah, I'm saying somebody's asked. I'm saying there's a chance, but I'm saying I think people are getting way too out in front of it because these guys are just starting official visits. The NIL portion of these recruitments are just truly getting underway this month. See what happens. Hey, the rug's been pulled before.
We have a super chat from Ryan Nelson. Going back to when you were talking about Coach Nansen, I guess one of his favorite quotes from Nansen is, smells like football weather. It will be football weather in just a couple months, guys.
I'm ready for it. It's, what is it, 92 days now until Texas takes the field? Was it James Patton that was number 92? I think that may be one that played the NFL for a long time for the Longhorns. Any other famous 92s out there for the University of Texas? Ooh. I don't know. Gotta have to remember.
I'd have to look that one up.
Somebody in the audience, I bet, has a good one for us as well. Hey guys, I want to tell y'all while we have a second here, talk a little bit about our friends at BKCW. .com. Did your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year, and then right before it was time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with no time to look for other options. When this happens, the agent is providing no value, and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. Austin, operated and owned by UT grad, BKCW uses a 5-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so you can avoid the insurance trap. BKCW has risk consultants that specialize in many different industries, from construction and transportation to nonprofits, school districts, and more. So you'll get matched up with someone who knows your risks and can help you escape the insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment at BKCW.com or send them an email info@bkcw if you're a business owner and want a better insurance experience.
Larry Dibbles was 92. Good call.
That's a good one.
I went to a barbecue with him once. Okay, here we go. We got a question from Daryl. He says, does having players that have pros in their families like the Manning, Santana Wilson's dad, and the dad of the recent running back commit help when recruiting other players?
I said this at the time. Obviously, we didn't have a big channel like this at the time, but Arch Manning, the Manning family, was a huge stamp of approval for Steve Sarkisian as a head coach. That was a huge stamp of approval because, look, when your competition is Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and Dabo, who at the time all were on pretty much on top of the college football world at that time, then that was a huge stamp of approval for Steve Sarkisian. That carries a lot of weight based on the history of that family and that history of the family in the SEC, by the way. So that was a very, very big one. Obviously for Texas. I think Santana Wilson, look, his dad's a executive in the NFL, right? I mean, was a big time safety in the NFL. So stamp of approval for Steve Sarkisian's program. Yeah, I think there's been multiple guys like that. And I'll say this, we talk about the pros, look, but you think about the college guys that play big time college football or even, you know, maybe mid college football, that the way they look, who have been through it a little bit, it may have been years ago, but they've seen what it looks like when it's put together well from their perspective. And that could be on a good New Mexico team versus a bad New Mexico team. That could be on a good University of Houston team versus a not so good. So, I mean, with these guys who've seen it done well in their eyes, if that resonates with what Sark's doing, that helps recruit. So it's more than just the pros. A lot of these guys have played college sports on some level, and they know when it looks right and feels right to them.
Next question, fellas, comes from King Me. Which wideout will become wide receiver number one for Quinn Ewers this year?
Isaiah Bond.
I'm mixed. I am truly mixed. I think it could be Jonte. I think it could be Bond, and I think it could be Bolden. Those are the three for me. I don't know that it's decided. A lot will depend on how they feel in the year and how they mesh.
By the way, I want to address this because I think it's a great point by UT boy. Good luck fishing this weekend, by the way. That was a huge transfer for Steve Sarkisian.
Oh.
Huge, because that's the number one prospect in the state that played quarterback that was originally committed to Texas and didn't really like what was going on, went to Ohio State, transferred back home. That was a huge perception hit positively for Texas when Quinn Ewers came home to Texas. And I know people are going to be harder on the Texas quarterback than anything, right? But he helped lead Texas to the Big 12 championship and a playoff appearance too. So you've got return on that transfer. And he's going to be a high draft pick next year. Where his season will tell the story, right? Whether that's number 1, 5, 25, whatever. The season will tell the story. But that was a huge transfer as well for Sarkisian. That was a great point by UT boy. And you got both of those guys in a short amount of time is the key. It wasn't Quinn in 1 year and Arch 3 years later. That was a short amount of time that both of those things happened and transpired. And I'll always remember this. I talked to Ryan Wingo on his way home from an unofficial visit. Him and his father and maybe a couple of family members were on an unofficial visit to Texas the same weekend Arch and that group was in for official visit. I think that was Arch, Anthony Hill, Malik Muhammad. I think that was not the last weekend in June. It was the weekend before that. And Ryan Wingo specifically mentioned Arch Manning. And he was just driving in the car to the airport. And he specifically mentioned him. So Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning, both those guys, huge, huge for Steve Sarkisian at Texas.
I think Quinn Ewers was the first big name recruit.
Yep.
That That was the one that said, okay, let's start this roll. Let's get on the roll here, guys. And, you know, Sark did what it took. Quinn Ewers goes in the portal on a Friday afternoon. Sark's at the house on Friday night.
On an official visit weekend.
On an official visit weekend where he had other guys already coming in for official visits. He went to South Lake. He knows where, look, you can say this or that about, well, Sark didn't do this right, or Sark didn't do that right, or we should have won this game or that game, or yada, yada. All probably true, by the way. No man's perfect, including Nick Saban. But how he handled that recruitment and how he has handled recruiting generally, there haven't been a lot of missteps, my man. They just haven't.
And by the way, it's Alfio Randall VC. Hey, what's up, Alfio? I will always remember Alfio, by the way, before I get to another point on Quinn. I'll always remember Alfio because I walked into Corey Redding's announcement. That was Mac's number one ranked class in 99 with Alfio, Chris Sims, Rod Babers, Corey Redding, and all those guys, Marcus Tubbs, Dockery, I believe, was in that class. But I walked into Corey Redding's press conference and Alfio was there. And it was just so funny because I looked at him and I was like, don't you have class today? I thought to myself, don't you have class today? Nowadays, kids don't go to school, period. So it's all good if you see 19 guys at a commitment center. But I'll always remember Alfio as much for his talent as that he was at Corey Redding's press conference. I was like, that's probably good news.
All right, guys. We got time for just one or two more questions. And Odin Horns wants you to call your shot. Will Arch Manning win a Heisman Trophy at Texas?
I'm gonna say I don't know. I mean, I can't. That's just impossible. Impossible to tell you. I do think that he's set up pretty well beyond this year. Texas will have the offensive line. They'll have the receivers. They'll have the play caller. I mean, I'm not so sure that he won't ultimately have a better shot at than Quinn in some respects, because he'll actually have been in the SEC a little bit longer, understood the defense. It's just a lot of little things, but you know, you never know, dude. That's an impossible ask. Well,
you know, look, I'm going to give the people what they want. Yes. Because the Mannings are due to win one.
There you go. That's a fair answer. They are due to win one.
Yeah. I mean, they're due to win one.
Oh, man. And then our last question to wrap it up is from Sam Mitchell. He says, the question for you guys, are you guys attending SEC opening day on June 30th?
Yes. Yeah, that's going to happen, guys. So we'll have more about that at a later point in time. But, yes.
There you go. All right. Well, before we get out of here, Bobby, there's obviously a lot going on. It's going to be a big weekend for the Longhorns, weather permitting. And just in general, so tell folks why they should head on over to ontexasfootball.com.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thank you all so much for joining us here on Texas Football, the YouTube channel. We're also simulcasting on Twitter now, and that's growing like a weed as well. Please join us and join the discussion with us at ontexasfootball.com. We're on there all day long for answering questions, dropping news and notes. I mean, Blake, we didn't even get to all of the stuff that happened yesterday with the time announcements, 2:30 for Oklahoma kickoff, 6:00 for UTSA. It's a lot of different stuff that goes on during the day. Please join us over there. Come join us, hang out. We'll answer your questions as quickly as possible. And if you go and sign up for a subscription to On Texas Football for an annual subscription, use the promo code OTFOG. For 1 year, you get it for $39.95. That's $20 off. Again, OTFOG at On Texas Football. We appreciate you guys and your support of what we do at On Texas Football.
By the way, we can't get out of here without talking about the Texas OU start time. So we got to take a minute talking about that. The chat too. What do you guys like the 2:30? Do you not like the 2:30? What was it, Blake, last year? 8.1 million viewers for Texas OU at 11 a.m. I think that number will go over 9 this year with the 230 start. I think while some of the fans may not like it necessarily, I think for the game itself, it's actually going to be a positive. I think also one of the small things to take into account, and what doesn't make or break recruitments, but a 230 start, more kids can get to that game too. 11 a.m.s are tough because after a Friday night game, you may have treatment Saturday mornings. You may have a team meeting Saturday mornings. So a 2:30 start, I think, is going to bring in even more viewers. SEC will hype this game up. It'll be hyped up nationally. I think it'll bring in another 1 million viewers plus than last year. And for recruiting purposes, I think it'll get more kids to the stadium next year. So for those two reasons, I like it. I don't know what the fans think. I know that's different from the way I think about it.
From a fan's perspective, it makes it harder because there's more people at the fair by that time. It's not just the football game at that point. Although that will be the majority of fans at the game. I think that I'm fine with it. I really am. I don't think it's this major issue. It's hard getting in and out of the Cotton Bowl, regardless of what time it is. Frankly, the stuff gets backed up and traffic gets backed up, et cetera. I will say this. It can get a little bit more rambunctious at 2:30 than it does even at 11. At I least agree. At 11, the people aren't so inebriated. Well, it gives you at 11 o'clock as a student, that's getting up early, right? And getting to a game. And you really don't have time to be inebriated yet. You're still getting – you're hungover from the night before. 2:30 is a different start, a different time. You're already into it again. And so it can make the game a little bit more rambunctious, I guess, from a student perspective, at the very least.
Hey, by the way, there you go. What did Alfio say? Look, he played in it.
He said 2:30 is good. 11 a.m. is tough for the staff.
Blake, we have to bring up your tweet. a longtime friend I grew up with, Jason Watson, loved it until he saw your tweet. So,
oh, man, let me.
Now I can't let you get out of here without throwing the stats out.
I do got to say, I was actually wrong on part of it. Let me bring it up here. ESPN was wrong. I did end up going back and correcting myself, but this is the original tweet here. And with the news of Texas OU being a 2:30 kick this year, I went back and looked. So every game that there's been a 2:30 kick in the last 20 years, the Longhorns have lost that game.
You mean in the series?
With the exception of 2006. And actually, you can go all the way back to, I think, 2001, and it adds a few more in there. But 2006, they did not lose that one. But, yeah, that one's caused quite the controversy between Texas OU fans on Twitter. So – it was like throwing a live grenade, and I just had to walk away from it because they've been arguing nonstop on there. So at least it drove some good discussion. But anyway, guys, well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football. We want to thank BKCW, Omaha Steaks, and Chinook Cedary for sponsoring today's show. As Bobby said, head on over to ontexasfootball.com. Use that promo code OTFOG. It'll get it for $39.95 for the year. And if you haven't already, please hit that like and subscribe button. We would definitely appreciate that. We appreciate y'all's support. We're almost at 50,000 subscribers. That's just insane to think about, and that we couldn't do it without you guys. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you on Monday morning.
Welcome.